is Total Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5. Here's your host, Scott Ledger.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays, man. Friday's here already. The weeks are flying by. Holidays are blowing by. Christmas right around the corner. New Year's. And still 3 weeks of football left for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, the heck with the race to 10, man. How about this race to 11 as we welcome in number 19? You're still a rookie wide receiver. I got to say rookie wide receiver. But you're not playing like one, but I got to call you that. Good to see you, Mike. Mike Williams.
Yeah, it's always good to be on the show.
Yeah, I was talking to you off the air. You know, you're kind of – some people can come in a little bit more media savvy kind of coming in, and it just kind of flows from you, man. So I would definitely – I would talk to that guy right there, Jeff Ryan, about, you know, maybe next year get you on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah, that's up to him, man. I'm trying to get on the show, trying to get my own show.
So let me ask you, man, when you came in, you knew you could play ball. You had all those issues. We don't even talk about that anymore. That's in the past. But you had people that were going to, you know, kind of put you under the microscope for the first half of the season. And you came in, I think, did you have any personal goals or was it just – every play is the goal. You know, what were your goals like when about maybe 3-4 weeks into the season now, people starting to mention your name, I guess is a good way to put it.
I guess to keep playing good. I mean, keep proving people wrong. Don't satisfy where I'm at. So that was my goals. Like after the first game was just keep it going and stay on a steady route and let people know who the real Mike Williams is.
Josh said last night on his show he had spoken to you somewhere down the or in the past about this rookie wall. Hey, Mike, where's this rookie wall or something? I don't feel nothing. And let me ask you, the body, I know you got a little, you know, knee. Is the knee banged up?
No, knee not banged up.
Not no more? It's all good? All right.
I don't know where that came from.
All right. So everything's good. So is there a rookie wall? Is there a metal wall? Is there, I mean, if you guys weren't hunting down the playoffs, do you think you'd feel it a little bit more?
Well, I don't know. I mean, people keep telling me there's a rookie wall, and I'm waiting for it to pop up. I don't know where.
What do you think it is? It's, you
know, I don't know.
Going to wake up one morning and not be able to walk or something? What do, I mean, you know, what have you been told it is?
I told the rookie wall is I can't wait for the season to get over. Things like that. You would say things like that, or you just so tired of playing football. But I love football. I can't wait for the next game. I hope we just keep playing the whole year.
Let's go back to this Redskin game, man. What an exciting game to play in. You guys have obviously given us a little bit of heart palpitations from time to time, some great come-from-behind victories. But at the same time, we still see this resilience, I think is a good word to use. You know, whatever the scoreboard says, whatever the timer says, bottom line is let's just get first downs, let's move the ball, let's win a game. It doesn't seem like it's a toil for a young team. You don't look like you're looking in nine directions. There seems to be a nice, smooth flow to everything that's going on. Is it a good way to describe what's going on?
Oh, yeah, exactly. We all want to win. So we know, like Ole said at the beginning of the year, we got to grow up, man. It's like we're going to play a lot of young guys, so we got to grow up now. He told us this wasn't no rebuilding season. We want to win now. So we all had to grow up right then and there and learn our lessons at the beginning of the season. And it's looking like it's turning out good.
Yeah, it is. You know, we'll talk to you about a lot of players on your team, but we got to mention your battery mate, you know, Regis is stepping up, and then now it's going to be a little bit easier on you. Sometimes you won't be, you know, doubled. Talk about how his rise is going to help out your game.
Oh, well, his rise will help out everybody's game, help out Kellen's game, because we've been kind of getting double-team me, double-team Kellen on the same plays. And now with him getting off, it's like you can't double-team three people out there, and it's, they're going to have to leave somebody one-on-one, and me and Kellen to capitalize, or Regis showed that he can capitalize too, so he can help the whole offense with him with his success.
They've also used him in the running game, but a couple of those catches, one in Arizona, one last week, where he was right down on the one. I see you going down to celebrate with him, and during his touchdowns that he's had recently, it really seems like you guys are almost brothers the way you act. I'm saying there's a real closeness there. And when did that start? In OTAs? When did that start?
When we first got down here together, we was roommates. We had to learn the playbook together.
Stuck you together on purpose, huh?
Yeah, we studied together. So it was like we developed that chemistry then. And we just don't want nothing but success for each other. So I score, he score, no matter what. It's just we celebrating. We just want success.
By the way, you can vote for Mike on NFL.com for the Pro Bowl. This kid's having an amazing season. We're kind of looking at 52 catches so far, 784 yards. What would we say you had to average next three games? About 70, 80 yards, around 80 yards, and you could crack 1,000 for your rookie season, 7 touchdowns. You'd like to finish the season with a couple more.
Yeah.
And then you get those playoff stats. Those are different.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully we get in the playoffs. So no matter, I would stay with the same stats I got right now if we get in the playoffs. I mean, I wouldn't trade that for nothing.
That's Mike Williams. Want to talk to him, 813-990-4620. How about your brother's cousin and brother?
That's my brother and cousin.
Brother and cousin. All right. Do they want to get on and talk? And like, because I would always ask them questions about what it was like growing up with you and get some good dirt on you, you know?
Oh, no. I don't think they want to get on and talk.
All right, guys. Get on the phone line, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS, and talk to Mike Williams. That was a crazy game. What was it like on the sidelines every time they were missing kicks?
Oh, it was very exciting. Like, Rondé kept getting, like, up to that that drop field goal. Rondé was getting so close to blocking the field goal. It was like, he's holding your breath. And was like, oh, like, and it was like, he had missed. It's like, he was trying to don't let Rondé block it. And then the last field goal, and I'm like, he's going to block this field goal. And then he dropped it. And it was like, I'm like, yes, we finally got a break. And he won the game.
It was a little tougher. He just gets us down to one. There's a little mishap with the football. How was the sidelines after the fumble, after you guys fumbled at the one? What was the sidelines like?
Oh, well, Rod told everybody to stay in the game, let the defense go out and get a stop, and we're going to get the ball back on offense, and we're going to have to go down and score. And that's what we tried to do, but they came down and tied the game.
Did you guys a little frustrated? I'm not sure. I think it was like 14, maybe 17 plays in the whole first half. You guys had a chance to touch the ball. You didn't get a chance to really – I mean, we know they were running the ball, but that's not your issue. But you guys didn't seem to get a lot of chances in the first half.
Oh, yeah. It's a couple of games where we didn't have a lot of chances. And we always say to each other, we got to capitalize on the opportunities we get. We say no miss ops. That's like our goal right there because – we're not having that many, so when we get the ops, we try to capitalize on them.
I like that shirt you're wearing. Did you say that's the coach's?
It is Raheem's shirt.
Does he know you borrowed it? Or
yeah, I had a little tank top shirt on today, and he was like, I don't want you walking around with that, and he gave me the shirt.
I like that. Is that this year's issue? It's got to be. It's a good-looking Buccaneers football jersey. You guys come out in the second half. I love the play call, a little squib kick. You get the ball back. You get close enough, it's like you're chipping away, and then finally Kellen gets the big play, and Kellen's been getting in the end zone too. Everybody's starting to get a little bit more infectious, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
It's not just you, because for a while there was, and then Kellen's picked up, now Regis has picked up.
Oh, yeah. Kellen always been a phenomenal tight end in his league, and somebody I always looked up to, and it's like he on my team now. So he always a big play guy to me, and always still will be. And he will always make the play. Like, it's like, that play was called in the huddle, and Keller knew he was getting the ball. He knew the coverage and all that, and he was like, this touchdown. That's what he said in the huddle. And
it looked like he caught the front and back of the ball at the same time, kind of like just snagged it out of the air like that.
You won't believe with some of the catches he'd be making in practice. Like he'd just catch just the string sometimes.
And just pull it off.
Yeah, his hands is crazy, man. I've seen him make some amazing catches.
Josh was describing a play where the ball was thrown. He would put the target up, and as the ball came by, he would clamp down on it with his opposite hand and just catch it one-handed.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I've seen that in commercials, but I thought they did that with digital animation.
He
can do that.
Yeah, we always tease him, talking about he got some sticky stuff on his glove or something. But he just have amazing hands.
You don't remember old school Stick'em, do you? Do you know what Stick'em was?
Yeah, I remember what Stick'em was.
You remember Stick'em? Yeah. Well, how old were you? Like when people, I'm trying to remember when it was outruled.
Well, when I first started talking about it, hearing about it was literally people saying, yeah, you should get Stick'em on your gloves. And I drop a pass, you need some Stick'em. And that's when I first started hearing about it.
Do you ever change up your gloves? Do you ever like feel your gloves are cursed? You know, because guys can get superstitious, I'm throwing these away.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of.
How are you with gloves?
I warm up in a pair of gloves. And I just play in the first half with a pair of gloves and the second half with a different pair of gloves. And they got to be the same exact gloves. Like, it got to be, I warm up in my whites. I play the first half in my blacks and the second half in my reds.
So there's a pattern to this.
Yeah, it's a pattern. Like,
I never even noticed that.
Yeah, I get it every game. So that's what I had to do.
Now, is it because they've lost some of the tackiness throughout the game, or is it just a routine you're
going? It's just a routine. I'm with it. So I don't want to stop the routine.
I love that. I love that. Anything? How about your cleats? I haven't noticed. Now I'm gonna start paying more attention. I'm like, see, he's got the black gloves on.
Yeah. Well, with my cleats, I just wear a new pair every game.
Yeah.
So I don't practice in them. Nothing. Just wear a new pair every game.
They don't need to be broken in. I always wanted to ask athletes about that. It seems like sometimes they can come stiff. And
some cleats you get need to be broken in, but with the Reebok cleats, they seem to give me. It seemed like they ready to play right now. So I like.
And how about in Washington now? Are you given a cleat that has an adjustable stud that screws out, or are you given different size actual shoe, you know, the shoe with different permanent cleats?
Well, some guys, they needed to do that, get the screw in Washington. Some guys, like Blunt, he needed to switch his cleats at halftime. Mm-hmm. And certain guys had to put screws in their bottom of their shoe at halftime. But like I said, the Reeboks they give me, it's so perfect out there. So that's why I wear them.
Want to talk to Mike Williams? Did you pick those shoes out? I mean, did they come to you and say, here's our different models, which one do you love? And then you fell in love with that shoe. Is that how it works?
Actually, I practice in like four different Reebok shoes, and I'm like, I want these ones. These ones fit so perfect. And they like mold to your foot when you put them on. It's like a certain click they got. And I've been wearing them ever since.
Magic Wings. All right, get on the phone, guys. We'll come back, start taking your phone calls. 813, you already got a couple of callers locked and loaded. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Mike Williams is our guest tonight on Buccaneers Total Access. Our pregame will come to you locally on The Animal at 10:30, the network at noon, 1 o'clock kickoff. As we get ready to take on the Detroit Lions, we'll talk more and more about them and the defense and what this Buccaneer offense can do at Raymond James Stadium. More coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Hey, guys, if you're coming out to the game, Raymond James Stadium, don't forget the Toys for Tots and the Glazer Family Foundation are collecting all the way up to the end of the first quarter. You'll see the yellow collection bins. For Toys for Tots, what a great campaign. Those toys go locally, by the way, to children that really need them for this Christmas. So if you're coming out to the game, keep that in mind. We're getting ready to go to Mitch, Freddie, and Rich. Stand by, bro. I got to ask you, it's like almost two a game. It was like last week it was Gerald and Quincy. Before that it was Akib and I want to say Kyle Moore or Davin Joseph. This next man up we keep hearing about, I'm looking at Derek Hardman, Larson, Brandon Carter, Vince Anderson's now on the roster. Tell me what's it like for a young team? It almost seems like the world's trying to knock you down, but you guys are just kind of not invincible, but you know what I mean? It's like, whatever, bring it.
Yeah, I mean, we're a young team, so we look at it like everybody wants opportunities to go out there and make plays. I mean, we all want to get out on the field. We all want to help each other make plays, so people on the sideline is rooting on you like they on the field. Mm-hmm. So when somebody goes down and they come in and like they want to play higher now, they want to make the plays now. So like going through with all these injuries and stuff, we just like Ross say, next man up. I mean, we can't do nothing about it now. I mean, people get put on IR, it got to be next man up. We sit and dwell on it, we lose a game. And
do you expect to see that in the NFL, or was that something you experienced at Syracuse? You know, a lot of guys getting hurt all at the same time, or no?
Oh, no, not at all. What I know about it in the NFL now, it's a long season. So
that's the wall, the whole wall
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's the whole wall thing. It's a real long season. But so guys got more opportunity, so to say, to get hurt. I mean, going out there and you playing hard every Sunday, and it's like you keep playing, and you're getting cut, and you're getting tackled, and one wrong turn and one wrong tackle, you can end up hurting. And we just happened to go through a couple of those.
That's probably what they mean by the wall, is you're going to get to the point where you are going to be playing dinged up. Maybe that's what they mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That's probably what they mean.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phones, guys. We got, let me see, Rich, Freddie, and Mitch. Mitch, you're up first out of St. Pete. I understand you're up at the Washington game. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder and had a business trip up, so a few of us planned to be up there on Sunday, and we got to be at the game. And first, I just want to say congratulations to Mike and the whole team. We were watching the game, and it was, of course, it was cold and rainy, but when we looked down on the field, it didn't look so bad. But then when you looked at what you were wearing and you looked at the rest of the stadium, it was pouring down the entire game. And it's just, it's surprising that there weren't more miscues and bad plays. And for all of the criticism on the Bucs side for having, you know, Washington screw up and being able to win, I will say that basically about 7 points there that could have gone either way. They missed two field goals, an extra point. We had a fumble on the goal line. It was 7 points. So my view, and also the Blunt fumble, we were probably about even on miscues. So there are a lot of close games in the NFL. And I just had a question for Mike. It seems like with all the guys coming in, is it possible that because these guys are fresh and they aren't dinged up, that actually it's unfortunate that guys get injured, but it may be working a little bit in our favor in that every guy that gets prepared knows he's going to have a chance to get in there, but they are healthier and fresher than perhaps a veteran who's dinged up, who has more experience but can't make the play quite as closely as someone who is, you know, more healthy.
Yeah, like an interesting trade-off. I get that idea, sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, things like that, they come up all the time, man. And you wonder, like, should you sub your veteran out and put a fresh player in or something like that?
Well, they do it with the D-line throughout the game.
Yeah, the D-line do it the whole game.
Sure.
I mean, we'll take it. I mean, we getting injured. I mean, we can't do nothing but take it. But you're right. A lot of fresh bodies coming in, a lot of fresh legs coming in and making a lot of plays. So maybe you can say that's the reason that's helping us out. But hopefully we keep winning.
All right, we're going right back to the phones. Rich, you're on deck. You can get behind Rich at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. But Freddie is up next on with Mike Williams. How you doing, Freddie? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. Outstanding talking to you. Just want to let you know that it's been a pleasure. I haven't been able to see any of the games because, unfortunately, I've been a victim of this layoff stuff, but my son and I have been listening to the games all year long, all the home games on the radio. You are definitely the new favorite player of the town, I'm sure. You know, the next generation, you know, like I said, it gives me goosebumps to see my son listening to the game and you know, oh, he's got his Mike Williams jersey, you know, he's just, it's awesome, you know, and I love it. And I just want to say I really appreciate the joy that you bring to the fans, to the little guys, and you really are the beginning of the next generation, you and Josh and some of the guys. Really look forward to listening and watching you guys over the course of your career, and hope you have a long, healthy one here in Tampa. And I can't wait till my son's looking back, and you're a veteran with 10 Super Bowl rings, and and we're like, hey, I talked to that guy on the phone. But I appreciate it, man. Look, maybe we'll get to see a game next year with you, but in the meantime, you guys do a great job on the radio, so it's almost like we're there.
All right. Thanks a lot. It's always good to be like a positive influence to somebody, so hopefully I can keep doing that and keep making plays. And like I said, the Bucs keep winning.
Starting to see your jerseys?
Yeah, I've seen it in a lot of stores.
How about in the crowd? Starting to see them?
Yeah.
How's that going to feel when you look up into the crowd after scoring this weekend and someone's looking back at you with a 19 jersey on?
Actually, I seen two of my jerseys at
up in Washington.
Up in Washington.
Nice. And, traveling.
And
nice.
I threw my gloves to the person that had my jersey.
Okay, I did see you throw your gloves. Yeah.
So, yeah. Like whoever had my jersey, if I see it and I'm there, look for a gift.
Yeah. By the way, yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're thinking it's kind of curious, I'll get a text from time to time. I'm looking to get a new jersey. Who should I get? You know, everybody has an opinion about which jersey will last the longest in town, that kind of mentality, you know. But I recommend, well, 19, 5, 17, 18, 82, 27, 24. You know, how many different weapons are there on the offense? All right, going right back to the phones, it is Rich. Rich, you're on with Mike Williams.
Hey guys. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Rich?
Hey, how are you? Hey, I wanted to tell you that I made it up to the Atlanta game with a bunch of guys and my daughter and son, and everybody came from different directions. We had a blast. We had some pretty obnoxious Atlanta fans behind us that were giving us a little crap, but I mean, I thought you guys played phenomenal, even though we, you know, put the bullet at the end there. But I just wanted to make a couple comments. I've been a season ticket holder from day one. I think I've missed like 3 games since the Bucs started. And I'm going to just tell you, I want to make a comment that I think that we have the best receiver. receiving core that I've seen since we've been at the Bucs. And that's like, I'm not throwing any jive there. I mean, I just think that it is so solid. I'm just like blown away by how good you guys are doing.
Rich, is it the athleticism that you see, or is it the amount of guys that have athleticism?
I think it's the amount of guys that have this unbelievable athleticism. You know, I mean, I've seen the Mark Carriers, I've seen the Blazers, but they couldn't, you know, do certain things. They, you know, some of them couldn't cut across the middle. Some, you know, just they always had a little, you know, thing that they couldn't really do that well. We have guys now that can do it. They can do it all. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm just blown away by it.
All right, Rich, let's good comments. Is there a question on top of that or no?
Yeah, I did want to ask one question. What is it that Raheem sees? And this is I love Raheem. I think he's I love the play calling from both sides, the whole bit. But what is it about that third one and going for the bomb when we got such weapons for like a 5-yard down and out, you know, throw it up in the air and nobody else can catch it except Winslow or you.
Third and one on Ben. Okay. All right. Hey, Rich, we got you. It's just we want to get to a lot of callers. We got you there. Third and one, third and short. You've been thrown too deep quite a few. Couple of times I thought I saw Regis get some deep throws too and stuff. But you don't want to take the weapon out of Josh's hands.
Oh yeah, you know? Exactly. Third and one, third and two. We know we're going to get man-to-man across the board most of the time. So we figure our man can beat your man. And that's how we look at it. And Ole trust in us. And that's why some of the times he do that.
And, Rich, by the way, all kudos go to Mark Dominic when you look. And, of course, his staff and, of course, Raheem Morris. A lot of these guys that you're seeing on the Buccaneers, LeGarrette Blount is a perfect example of that, is a guy that was actually targeted by the Bucs, not necessarily to draft, but they had their eye on him. So it's kind of like they pre-scouted him, and then they follow him into the league. So they're not just running up to teams and going, oh, this Ted Larson guy. They're actually pulling someone they were interested in from quite a while back. Jeremy in Clearwater, you're on with Mike Williams.
How you doing, Mr. Williams?
How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing very well, man. I just want to say I'm season ticket holder, section 135, row U, and you know I'm giving that Atlanta bench a hard time, you know, during the game. And I was actually at the Atlanta game, and I just want to say the turnout was great, get some people in the seats, you know, and I just really want to say thanks for what you're doing to the Tampa Bay area and the community, Mike.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. It's I love Tampa Bay, man. It's like my second home. Buffalo, my first home, and Tampa Bay is like just took it over. So anything I could do for Tampa Bay and the community, I'm going to keep doing it, especially for the team.
Do you miss the snow during the holidays, though?
Oh, yeah. People say I shouldn't miss the snow, but I really do. It's going to be my first Christmas not seeing snow. So
it is different, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is kind of different. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to see the Christmas lights around town. There's different ways to try to get into it. You know, because I was up in Connecticut for most of my early life, so I know what you're talking about. But mm-hmm. Since the season runs through the holidays, there's no way that you or your brother or anybody else can get back to Syracuse, or can you do it over, you know, there's really no time right now, right?
Oh, no, not at all. It's practice. Like
after you're done in the playoffs or the Super Bowl?
Well, after we're done, as soon as we finish up with the Super Bowl, we're going to come back here and work out and try to get ready for next season, for the off season, work on a couple routes and stuff like that, so just so we can stay where we at.
I got to ask you, this came up yesterday. Someone actually handed me a question. They said they had heard on a radio show, I guess Jeff Fain had said something about Josh Freeman liked a lot of Taco Bell, as in he ate it like 5 days a week. I mean, when you see him walking around here, is he carrying little, you know, chalupas around? I mean, do you see that?
Oh, no, I haven't really seen Taco Bell.
Do you like
Bell.
Junk food?
I haven't really seen Taco Bell.
No.
Nah, yeah. Kind of. I kind of get into it, but I try to keep up with my body, though.
Yeah. So, in the off season?
Oh, in the off season, I might try a little bit more than I would in the season.
You can't cheat a little?
Nah, not at all. I mean, you cheat a little, that's when you start gaining weight and getting slower and things like that. So, I try to stay up.
I like that dedication. Get on the phone lines. Talk to Mike, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. It's Buccaneers Total Access on a Friday night. We're sitting down with number 19, Mike Williams. Let me ask you about the combination of LeGarrette Blount and Cadillac Williams. LeGarrette comes in, is tough between the tackles. Caddy, next thing you know, is one of the best third down backs in football. You know, with his blitz pickups and his receiving, this is a great combination we have. And let's not leave EG out, of course, Ernest Graham as well. But this running back tandem is just a wonderful combination of power, speed, hands. Because we talked about the receiving corps, but mm-hmm. we really haven't mentioned the backfield.
Well, like they say, this lead is a two-back lead. And I think we got, like, the perfect two backs. It's like outstanding, like, with them two backs in the game. It's like LeGarrette in the game, and like you said, he great between the tackles. And then when Cadillac in the game screens or the pass or the blitz pickup, like, I seen a paper the other day, and they had a big picture of Cadillac, and it said protection. And then it was like awesome. I told him,
like that.
That's a great picture of him. But he's a great player. He also can run the ball too. So you never know what you got when Cadillac get back there.
How about that catch he made? That, you know, it didn't move the chains. I think James Lee had a holding call set us back, so we were looking at like third and long. But Caddy makes this beautiful one handed catch, stumbles a little bit, almost gets all the way to the first down, but he got us close enough so Connor Barth kicks that field goal. And like when you win a 1-point game, there are so many individual plays that could make the difference in that game, huh?
Exactly. Like when I first got here, they told we won our – I think the second game we won by – I'm not sure how many points we won by. But
Carolina.
We won by – I can't remember how many points, but it was a short amount of points.
20-7.
20-7. Yeah. No, the first game was 17-14.
Yeah, Cleveland. Okay, Cleveland. 17-14.
Yeah, Cleveland game 17-14. They told me I'm going to be surprised how many close games is going to be like that in this league. And actually, they said this year was a record-breaking year and how close all these games was. And like you said, one play, like catching, you don't get the first down. You might not need the first down for Connor Barth to get out there. Just get him in enough room to make the field goal.
Is that another transition? Because, you know, that's an interesting question, you know, because we always hear about the difference between college and the pros. You know, in college you're open by 5 yards and the pros you're open by a yard and a half. But I never thought of that the idea that each game is a nail-biter. You don't have a lot of nail-biters in college, do you?
Yeah, exactly. In college it's either you upright lose or you blow the other team out.
Yeah.
It's no, like – really nail biters unless it comes down to like great matchups, 1-5 or something like that. But it's not a lot of nail biters.
How's the psyche on that? How's the psyche for this young team? Do you think they don't seem to care? You know, TJ talks about it a lot. His post game interviews talk about it a lot. He'll ask different players. You guys don't seem to get rattled. You're down by 10 or you're down by 7. You know, 7 minutes left on the clock, and you score, you tie a game, or you win it. And we don't seem to see a young team. You always hear young teams are going to find a way to lose. Young teams find a way to lose. That's the cliche. But, you know, other than maybe the Atlanta game where you had it and you let it slip by, I don't think you found a way to lose any game this year.
Oh, yeah. We, like you said, we young. So, and when somebody tell us we can be in every game, we're going to try to win that game. So, and that's how we thinking about it. We think no matter what the score is, when it come down to second half, last possession, if Josh got the ball, we figure we can win this game.
Really, Spence, 21 receptions for 345 yards. Sammy Strotter just above him with 23. Cadillac's got 41 catches. Kellen Winslow at 52. You and K2 are tied right now. You both have 52 receptions.
Oh, yeah, he said that to me the other day. Yeah, we tie now.
Yeah, but you show him the difference in touchdowns.
Yeah, I told
him. All right, I'm not trying to get you guys in trouble. Dave, stand by. You're on deck. We're going to Micah. That's Micah. Welcome.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
How you doing, Micah?
Good. I'm a big draft guy, and I kept up with a lot of the players. A lot of people don't even know that you were probably going to break Marvin Harrison's records when you were in school, and you're arguably probably going to be Rookie of the Year. The thing I wanted to know is, do you think now, since everybody, you know, everybody pretty much knows who you are, do you feel you're going to have a target on your back for the coming up, you know, next season?
Oh, yeah, I'm already seeing that with other teams. It's like they changing coverages. I would run to one side, like, and they had changed the coverage, and I go to another side. Actually, one play, I came out the huddle against the 49ers, and I ran the wrong way. and they changed the covers to that side. And then I ran. Josh got me back onto the right side, and then you seen that they rotated the covers back to that side. So I'm starting to see that to a lot of teams, and I kind of like it. It's like giving me respect now, and it's getting a lot of other guys open.
It's a challenge, huh? That's what it is. It's respect, and at the same time, it's also like, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's how you're thinking?
Exactly. And like the Atlanta game, if y'all see the last drive of that game, they brought a linebacker out to press me with the corner over top and the safety over top of him. I've never seen that before in my life.
So you had two guys over the top and a guy underneath.
Yeah. That was crazy. I've never seen the last drive.
So that's basically Mike Smith saying, well, if we lose this game to Atlanta, we don't want Mike Williams to beat us.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, yeah. Well, okay. Dave, actually, Galloway's on deck, and we're going to Dave. Dave, how you doing?
Hey,
welcome to the show.
How you doing, guys?
Doing great. Appreciate
doing,
the
Mike?
Call.
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, first, I just want to thank you for bringing back the excitement of offensive football here in Tampa Bay. We've missed it the last couple of years, and it's been a pleasure watching you and Josh and Aurelius and LeGarrette and McKellen and everyone grow together. And it's really nice to not cringe when the offense gets on the field and be known for an offensive team rather than a defensive team. My question to you is, what's made the transition so easy for you? You see a lot of receivers that excel in college, and they talk about the space in college, but they can't make the transition, at least not right away. You've just not missed a beat. You stepped in as a star in college and right to the NFL. What's been your secret to really excel at the next level right away?
Well, trying to get in the film room and trying to learn the things that pros did before me and what the guys did before me and how did they have success in this league and watching those guys and why are they great and how do they beat press coverage and things like that. So I look at it as I just came in here and did my job, and that's how I started off the way I did.
Kudos to Greg Olsen for taking your skill set and saying, Williams does this well, Williams does this well, and making sure, and Josh doing the same thing. And it's almost like a teamwork thing. If you're excelling, it's because the offensive coordinator is putting you in good position, and, of course, you and Josh get on the same page there as well. That's a great thing to have on a young team. You know, as a Buck fan, I work for the Buccaneers Radio Network, but as a Buck fan, I can picture the coach, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback's coach being here year after year after year. Because if you look at the Saints and you look at the Colts and you look at the Patriots, their system is the same. It's basically a couple new players plugged in, but it's basically the same. There's no change. There's no turnover. There's no new terminology. So you're now, 12, 13 weeks into the terminology. Is the playbook pretty much taken care of in your mind?
Oh, yeah. I think I can go out there and play offensive tackle if I want.
So you know other wide receiver positions as well. XYZ, you know them all.
Yeah, I know them all. Yep. And, like I said, I probably can go and play tackle and give up a couple sacks, but I can do it, though.
You got long arms.
Yeah.
And you got good feet.
I try.
You just have to get that guy to work around the edge. You got it. All right, guys, stand by. We got Galloway. That's not the old receiver. That's actually a guy's name. He is first on deck. Want to get behind him and talk to Mike Williams, then. We got room for you. Hillsboro, we got a line open, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620. Holidays right around the corner. Buccaneers going at it right around the corner from us at Raymond James Stadium, man. The push for 11, the push for the playoffs. We can say that word now. I was a little nervous saying it from time to time. Didn't want to jinx anybody, but it's coming back. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes with more Mike Williams right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Total Access. About 20 minutes left for the week's worth of shows. If you sit down with wide receiver number 19, 52 catches, 784 yards, 15 yards a catch, 7 touchdowns. Mike Williams is taking your phone calls. Got a good boatload of callers. Let me see. We've got Dean, Dave, and John. Stand by. We're going to get to all of you guys. It's Galloway. Galloway, you're on with Mike Williams.
How you guys doing today?
Doing great.
All right, great, Galloway.
How you doing, Mike? Me and you met about like week 5 at Denny's one time.
At Denny's?
Yeah, I got a chance to give you a big hug.
Oh, yeah, you was the one when I was with all my family at Denny's.
Right. Hey, I got a question for you. I know you're having a great season. I know you was out for the Rookie of the Year. And since Adamia Sue still having a good year? Do you think you still have a chance to be the Rookie of the Year?
Well, I think it's two awards. I think it's a defensive Rookie of the Year, and it's the Offensive Rookie of the Year. So
that's right.
So I think
to the answer to that question is, yeah, you got a really good chance.
Yes,
though Sue is having an impressive season for sure.
Right. Well, what about Sam Bradford over there with the Rams? You think you can beat him out too? Because, you know, the whole NFL is talking about how good he's doing, and he is putting up the numbers and having a great season.
I think if we keep fighting and make the playoffs, I really don't care about Rookie of the Year. That's not a matter to me. I mean, Sam Bradford having a great season, and I actually talked to him the other day, and he keep telling me get in the playoffs, and I was telling him the same thing. It's like saying good luck to each other, and we always say one to the family. So we really – it's not like a battle for us. We both just trying to make the playoffs.
All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. Lots of good calls. John, you're on next with Mike Williams on Buccaneers Total Access.
Mike, John King, nice to talk to you. Bucs fan, glad to have you a part of the team.
Oh, yeah,
question
thanks,
for you. Hey, on the adjustment route, like if you remember the one play last week against Washington, I think it was a slant play, and Phillip Buchanan, I think, had inside position on you. You almost had him turned around. You ran your slant anyway. Josh threw the ball. It would have been a tough catch. Phillip basically just got in the way. Is there ever a situation where you and Josh, in that situation, the corner completely takes the inside away from you, that you can do a sight adjust and basically just run a flat route down the side?
Oh, no. If he takes the inside away, that means he's going to be underneath me the whole time. So it'd have to be a perfect pass if he throw a flat route or something like that. But I had a slant called, and no matter if he inside of me, I got to get inside. I got to get inside, and that's my rule. So I took an outside release, and I turned his hips, and I got inside. I just dropped the ball. That was on me. That was a perfect pass by Josh. I can't blame it on the rain, which I do all the time, but I dropped the ball, and that was just that's just what happened.
That's the kind of coverage they're going to give you. Is that, you know, I think we were talking about that off air. Sometimes when the guys are being able to undercut your route is because they're going to have that deeper help, and it's not that big a risk for them to do that.
Oh yeah, they try to press coverage and pay you inside, and then the safety over the top outside. So they basically giving you a go route to the safety or run into the safety, and they trying to cut under anything inside.
There are different windows. I heard an announcer make an analogy. If you're running the slant, there's like the first window for the throw, then there's like almost like another one. Josh has hit you sometimes almost like, I'm not going to throw it yet, and then he hits you. Is that slant always three steps, or is it sometimes five, six, seven, or eight?
No, it's a three-step slant, but it might be a three-step hitch. Like it's, and he'd try to get me to the next window. Like last week, my only catch, I caught a slant in the fifth window.
You were almost in the middle of the field.
Yeah, I just kept running, and I'm like, he really still looking at me. It must not, you know, defenders here. And I caught it and got hit.
Yeah, it was like three guys around you.
Yeah.
I do remember that catch. Going back to the phones, I believe, is it Dave or Dean? Dave, you're on next.
How you doing, Mike?
How you doing, Dave?
I'm a huge Syracuse fan.
Oh, yeah, that's great, man. That's great.
So when we got you, all my friends were asking, who's Mike Williams? And I'm like, well, listen, he's the second coming of Marvin Harrison. I said, only the difference is he didn't have McNabb thrown to him. He had the Pulse experiment and a bunch of other non-notables. That's what I want you to tell me about, basically, is the difference between the quarterback play from college and now, the consistency and the level. And, I mean, it's obviously made your skills shine a little bit more, but tell me a little bit about that if you could. Thank you.
Well, I kind of thank my quarterbacks in college because they kind of got me here. But I say the difference is between quarterbacks in college and the quarterback and Josh Freeman, I would say. The difference between that is I always say it's magic because I used to run a route down the field in college, and all of a sudden the ball would come out, and you see the old line, and it looked like it just popped out the old lineman's head. But in the pros, you see Big Josh standing right at
the
top.
Helmet?
And he giving you a perfect release. And in college, you had to make a lot more plays than in the pros with Josh. He put him right on the money and let you do what you do.
Your coach, Coach Yarbrough, talks about your ability to track a ball. does that come from that ball popping out over the O-line in college and suddenly you got to pick it up?
Yeah.
In other words, you're picking it up halfway to you rather than all the way out of Josh's hands. Do you think that's helped you now?
Oh, yeah, exactly. All my life, I've been like a jump ball guy, like somebody that's going to stop and go up and get it. And like in college, I had to make the adjustment. I tried to catch everything. So no matter if he threw an out pattern to my left and I'm running to the right, I tried to catch it real quick and go over there and get it. And like you said, it helped me.
You know, 1-2-3 jump, catch the ball at the highest point, 1-2-3 jump. How do you judge the arc of the ball when you decide to jump to try to get it at that highest point?
I try to jump when I think the cornerback can't jump for it. So I try to I try to really get it at its highest point. Like when I could jump and catch the ball, I try to just he gonna be on the ground still, and I'm gonna be in the air. That's when I make the judgment.
Grimes mugged you, by the way, in the Atlanta game. I know you scored on the slant on the opposite side on the next play.
Yeah.
But that fade in the corner was like you were jumping, and he was just kind of like,
yeah, I couldn't get off
mugging you.
He like after the play, he told me that was a vet move. I couldn't really jump. Like I stuck on the ground, and people said, who the best corner I played against? And I think by far he's the best corner I played against.
Yeah, yeah. He seemed pretty darn aggressive the whole game. And even the slant you caught was a beautiful throw by Josh, nice and low. You like the ball low up there? I mean, you know, down in the end zone?
Oh, in the end zone, yeah. Put it down there. I don't want to run in there with all that mess in there.
I love it. All right, Dean, we appreciate you hanging on, man. You got the soapbox. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm a huge Bucs fan. I'm calling from New York. How you doing, Mike?
How you doing, Dean?
Good, thank you. Just two quick questions. I just want to know what you're expecting to see from Detroit's defense this weekend, and also after the game last Sunday with the rain in Washington, if you guys do make the playoffs and you may have to play in a cold weather situation, how do you think the offense can transition into that?
But about the rain situation, We think we can play in any weather. I think we needed that. And if we have to go to a cold place in the playoffs, I think we're ready for it. It's a lot of guys that's not from Florida. We just down here playing with the Bucks now. Actually, I'm from Buffalo. I had snow in every winter but this one. So, we're going to have to make the adjustment and do what we do every game. Whatever the element is out there, go out and try to win a game. But what else was his question?
Being able to let's say you guys slide in at the 5 slot or the 6 slot, you might have to go out west and maybe play a game. And you know, in other words, you might play the Rams in a dome. You don't know, but if you had to play a playoff game in the cold weather, he was asking you about how that might affect you. And then he said the Detroit game, as far as what do you expect from the defense this week?
Oh yeah, we expect them to go out there and try to beat us and try to win a game. We expect a lot of man on third downs and zone coverage on first and
more
second
blitzes
downs.
Or teams blitzing you guys less now?
Teams blitzing us less. Ever since the Atlanta game when they all out blitz and I caught the slant and took it to the house, we haven't really seen the blitz since then. So we kind of like encourage them to blitz. We try to beat y'all.
Is it less blitzing or is it less blitzers?
Less blitzing.
They're only sending 5 guys before they were sending 7.
And really, and really with Detroit, they really don't blitz either. They count on that down 4 to make the play, and it usually happens for them.
They got some good D tackles there. Kyle Vandenbosch is hurt, but you're gonna have a. How is it, by the way? I wanted to ask you that guy called from the Bronx. You know, you realize that Buck fans aren't just here in the Tampa Bay area, and that thank God the internet's there and they're following you from distances and stuff. I mean, it's got to be a little bit, you know, just to think it's not just a guy down the street here. It's, you know, guys that followed you at Syracuse or guys everywhere else as the fan base grows and grows and grows. How do you think you guys as young players will embrace these new fans that are coming in as Buck players? Not new fans, coming back. Maybe, or being more vocal or showing up more often.
Well,
I'm trying to ask you about the buzz that's taking place.
I say if we keep winning and showing that we can win, because like in recent years here, they haven't been winning. So I guess a lot of Buck fans fell off track and decided to start listening to the radio or watching on TV or things like that. But I think if we keep winning and keep showing these fans that we here to stay in this NFL. Like, we just not no bottom team in the NFL, that we're going to start getting a lot of sellouts and a lot of fans in the stadium. And like you said, people from the Bronx watching us and loving us too.
You get a chance to watch many NFL games?
Oh, yeah.
What games have you watched recently?
Well, actually, I watched Mark Sanchez in
the Jets-Miami game?
Yeah, Jets-Miami game.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of some of the younger players in the league? Any guys really stick out that you're kind of impressed with? You know, because I'm sure other people are talking about you. Let's let you talk about a few other people that stick out.
Well, first off, the number one guy on my list is Aurelius Ben. Like, I know he's just my teammate, but to see where he came from and people doubting him and saying that I surpassed him as a player and how did I get the offense so quick and he learning so slow, I mean now they seeing him come along. I mean, I'm kind of like happy for him and happy with the situation he in now.
He's like a running back. He's even said that he wouldn't mind, you know, pitch me the ball, so watch what I do. But I don't know if I want him getting all banged up bumping into linebackers.
Well, he's big, man, and not a lot of corners going to tackle him one-on-one. So they in for a rude awakening if they think they're going to run up on him and tackle him.
I love it, man. Brotherly love. I asked him about all the other players in the NFL, and who's he talk about? He talks about the guy on the other side. But real quick, Sammy Strotter has moved the chains for this team. The Atlanta game comes to the mind. Obviously, there was a pick to end it, but that sick catch he makes on fourth down. Michael Spurlock has made, touchdown catches, sideline catches that set up game-winning field goals, and we don't want to kind of lose those guys in the mix either because you and Aurelius are getting a little bit more press, obviously. But this is just, as one of the callers talked about a little earlier, the tandem of wideouts that Josh has to throw to, it's not five guys that all have the same skill set. We got a leaper, we got a beast, we got a slot guy. Got a lot of different things going on at wideout, huh?
Yeah, Spurlock, deep threat. But besides that, we always say go out there and make the play. Like that's our goal in the room. I know a lot of people say it and preach it, but we actually try to go out there and do it. We playmakers, and no matter who make the play, it's third down. When they call Zebra and Sammy and Spurlock come in the huddle and I'm looking at them, first thing they say, all right, y'all, let's make this play. We got to get this first down. And that's how we go out there and we do it.
Josh Freeman, 17 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions this year. There are a couple of guys in the league that have thrown a few more touchdowns and a few more picks. He's doing a great job at protecting the football, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, exactly, man. He's the guy you want with the ball. And there's no better guy than him right now.
What do you think of his slide when he runs?
Oh, man. It's crazy, man. It's the funniest thing, and seeing him slide, it's funny, man. He got to get it more down pat.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's a little too upright for me, but that's okay. And what about his two-point conversion?
Oh, yeah, that's just beast mode right there.
That was a D-tackle and a linebacker.
Yeah, that's just beast. That's just him willing to go out there and put his body on the line to get points for the Bucks.
How often do you guys do scramble drills in practice with his ability to get outside the pocket? Do you practice? I know, what is it? If you're shallow, come back. No, if you're shallow, go deep. If you're deep, come back.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's just the rule to scrambling. That's ever since you grew up from Little League, and that's just the rules. And in practice, we get it a lot of chance to do it on 7-on-7 drills. He'll scramble out, and we have to come back or something like that.
That's Mike Williams. You might have a couple of minutes left to talk to him before we close up shop for tonight. That's Friday night, Buccaneers Total Access. We got a good lineup coming next week. We'll give you that. Actually, Adam Hayward. We'll have, of course, Gerald McCoy. We'll have Corey Lynch. We'll also have Josh Freeman. And, of course, there'll be no show a week from tonight because it'll be Christmas Eve. With Christmas right around the corner. Come back, maybe take a phone call or two. You can sneak in at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Rookie wide receiver sensation. Get on NFL.com. You can vote for the Pro Bowl. Right there under wide receivers, you'll see this guy, Mike Williams. I'm Ledge, coming back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Yeah.
Listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Buccaneers Total Access. A couple more minutes sitting down with Mike Williams. By the way, congratulations to guy's been doing it, well, I mean, he's been the voice of the Bucs over 20 years. Of course, he does FSU hoop, FSU football, and his name is Gene Deckerhoff. He is a finalist for the 2010 NSSA Florida Sportscaster of the Year. He's won that thing 10 times. Not bad. Holidays around, you got family surrounding you. What do the holidays mean to you, and what are they like for you? Crazy, hectic, slow, what are they like?
Well, it's always good for the holidays because you always realize who your family members are and who loves you. And people that call you around the holiday and tell them happy holidays, and your friends who it's just like a big family thing to me. But with the Bucs, we went out the other day to all the rookies, and
saw that
we sung Christmas carols to the elderly people and to the disabled people, and it was fun to us. We went out and kind of changed the songs and made them sing the songs different too, so it was kind of fun.
Does that feel good? The side, the football non side of your career, the Mike Williams that can get out in the public and do, you know, good things for the neighborhood and good things for people. That's got to be rewarding already.
Oh yeah, it feels real good. When I came in from the start, I said I want to be a good guy on the field and off the field. So to do things like that, it feels great.
How about back home? What were Christmases like growing up?
Oh man, Christmas was outstanding, man. A lot of snow, always loved Santa Claus. He always came through for me. Got me anything I wanted. So it's like
Buffalo, man. You must have had snowball fights, sledding, traditional kind of holidays.
Everything you said is crazy in Buffalo. It's like you ever dream of Christmas. When you dream of Christmas, you think of snow and lights and all that, and that's how Christmas is in Buffalo.
Well, it sounds like 2 feet a week there, doesn't it?
Oh, not that
like
much.
In July or something. All right, Mike, a couple of seconds left. You got three games left. 11 wins would be fantastic. You've got at least a reception in every game. Of course, you have far more than that. You're darn close to 1,000 yards. I know when you came in as a fourth-round draft pick, and that was about a bunch of stuff that never really happened. People didn't do their homework on you, but Mark Dominic did. And this has just been a wonderful fun time to watch this young team gel. It's just great. You have this infectious smile. I'm not sure if you're talking smack while you're smiling, but it's fun watching you out on the field because sometimes you're behind that glass. You got the face mask going to other times, but you seem to really enjoy playing in the NFL, bro.
I love the game. It's like everything I dreamed of, so why not go out there and have fun? And that's what I try to do every week.
And you do talk a little smack to the Grimeses of the world, the Buchanans of the world.
Oh, yeah, you guys do, because they come out there from the start. And any little play, it can be like a throwaway. Josh roll out and throw the ball away. Yeah, I got you on lock and all that. I got a trick for you.
Congratulations on a great season. Let's see you in the playoffs, and hopefully we'll talk to you and get you some interviews and some more airtime, Mike. It's always a pleasure talking to you, man. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me again. Hopefully I get my own show next year.
I was thinking.
And this could be a weekly thing.
I'm thinking. Absolutely. Mike Williams was our guest tonight. Thanks for everybody who called. We'll talk to you and your pregame at 10:30 Sunday morning right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.